Between 2020 and 2025, over half of the 14.4 million adverse event reports filed with the FDA for medical devices came from a single category, diabetes tech. In 2025 alone, one company, Dexcom, was responsible for over 350,000 of those reports. As this technology explodes into the consumer market, is the industry's quality control keeping pace with its innovation? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're diving deep into the wearable biosensor revolution. The market for continuous glucose monitors, or CGMs, is undergoing a seismic shift, particularly in the United States, where it's breaking out of the pharmacy and into the mainstream consumer market. We'll look at the battle for market share between U.S. giants Dexcom and Abbott, and how European and Korean players are carving out their own space with advanced technology and different business models. We'll also examine the growing pains, major FDA warnings, supply chain failures, and the critical question of quality control. Troy, let's start in the U.S. A huge announcement from the FDA on June 12th. They've cleared Dexcom's Stelo sensor as the first over-the-counter CGM for children as young as 2. What exactly is this, and why is it such a big deal?
Stelo is a wearable biosensor that measures glucose in the interstitial fluid just under the skin, sending readings to a smartphone every 15 minutes. The key development here, Susie, is the over-the-counter, or OTC, designation for a pediatric population. This follows its OTC approval for adults in March 2024. It completely removes the need for a doctor's prescription for a massive new user base.
So this isn't just for kids with diabetes?
Precisely. It's for children managing type 2 diabetes without insulin, those with prediabetes, or even for families who simply want to understand metabolic responses to food and exercise. It moves the CGM from a pure medical device into the consumer wellness category. And Dexcom isn't alone. On June 18th, wearable company UltraHuman launched its M2 Live platform in the U.S., which integrates Abbott's over-the-counter Lingo CGM, also for adults without insulin.
Two major CGM players, Dexcom and Abbott, now have products available in the U.S. without a prescription. What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers?
For U.S. manufacturers, this is a land grab. The total addressable market just exponentially expanded beyond the traditional diabetes patient population. Companies like Dexcom, with its strong Q1 performance showing a 15% revenue jump to $1.19 billion, are positioned to dominate. European manufacturers now face a much higher barrier to entry in the U.S. It's no longer enough to get FDA approval. You now have to compete with the massive consumer marketing budgets and established retail distribution channels of Dexcom and Abbott.
What about for trading companies and distributors?
The game has changed. This is no longer just a medical supply chain issue. Distributors need to be thinking about partnerships with large retail pharmacies, big box stores, and e-commerce platforms. Sourcing will be critical as demand could outstrip supply. But there are risks. Just last week, we saw reports of stolen Dexcom G7 sensors intended for destruction re-entering the market through a wholesaler, PharmSource. This highlights a massive supply chain security vulnerability.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives?
If you're a U.S. device maker, you need a direct-to-consumer strategy yesterday. For European firms, consider a partnership with an established U.S. consumer wellness brand rather than trying to build a distribution network from scratch. And for everyone in the supply chain, you must urgently review your security protocols for product handling, especially for device disposal and returns. The PharmSource incident is a warning shot.
Let's shift to Europe. While the U.S. market goes over the counter, the dynamics across the Atlantic seem quite different. What are we seeing there?
Europe is currently a battleground for technological superiority and reimbursement. On June 17th, Swiss firm FiberSense AG secured a CE mark for its new CGM system, which has a 28-day wear time. That's double the duration of most competitors, like Abbott's 14-day Lingo or Dexcom's 15-day Stelo.
A 28-day sensor is a huge leap in convenience for users.
It is. It directly addresses a key patient burden, the frequency of changing the sensor. And FiberSense is using a novel optical sensing technology, differentiating it from the electrochemical sensors used by the big players. At the same time, Abbott isn't standing still. They recently received a CE mark for their Libre Duo system.
What makes the Libre Duo different?
It's the first integrated device that continuously measures both glucose and ketones from a single sensor. For patients with type 1 diabetes, tracking ketones is critical for detecting diabetic ketoacidosis, a life-threatening condition. This dual sensing capability creates a new standard for high-risk patient management.
So, in Europe, the competition is about features and performance, not just access. What does this mean for manufacturers there?
European manufacturers are in an innovation race. Companies like FiberSense are proving that a smaller, specialized firm can outmaneuver giants on a key metric like wear time. U.S. companies wanting to compete in Europe can't just port over their OTC wellness products. They need to meet a higher clinical bar, like Abbott has with the Libre Duo. We're also seeing new players like South Korea's iSense getting a foothold. Their CareSense Air CGM was just approved for public insurance reimbursement in Belgium on June 11th.
Reimbursement is the key, then. What should trading companies know?
They need to understand the country-by-country reimbursement landscape. A CE mark gets you into the market, but getting listed on a national formulary, like iSense did with Belgium's NMI, is what secures sales volume. Distributors should focus on products that offer a clear clinical advantage that justifies reimbursement: longer wear, dual sensing, superior accuracy. Market timing is about aligning product launch with reimbursement negotiations.
Actionable insight?
European executives should double down on R&D that provides a quantifiable clinical advantage. Longer wear duration and multi-analyte sensing are the current frontiers. For U.S. companies looking at Europe, your strategy must be reimbursement-led, not consumer-led. Identify target countries and start building the clinical evidence and health economic case for payers now.
Troy, let's talk about Medtronic, one of the original giants in the space. They seem to be making some dramatic strategic moves. On June 18th, news broke that they've completed the spin-off of their entire diabetes business. What's behind this?
Medtronic has spun off its diabetes unit into a new, publicly traded company called MiniMed Group, Inc. as of March 2026. This is a strategic pivot. The core Medtronic entity will now focus its strategy on the aggressive integration of AI and automation into its other medical devices, like robotic surgery and smart implants. The new MiniMed Group can be more agile and focus specifically on the hyper-competitive diabetes tech market.
Is this a sign they couldn't keep up with Dexcom and Abbott?
It's more of a strategic realignment. The diabetes market moves at the speed of consumer tech, while other medical devices have longer development cycles. By separating them, both entities can move at the right speed for their respective markets. And the new MiniMed is already innovating. On June 15th, they launched two new CGM sensors for their MiniMed 780G automated insulin delivery system, the 6-day Simplera Sync, and a 15-day sensor, the Instinct, which interestingly is based on Abbott's Libre technology.
They're using a competitor's technology?
Yes, it's a fascinating example of cross-platform collaboration. They also launched the MiniMed Flex, a screenless insulin pump that's half the size of the 780G and is controlled entirely by a smartphone. This directly plays into the disappearing act TransEDNet noted, where wearables are becoming smaller and less obtrusive. Dexcom's latest device is also 50% smaller.
So what does this Medtronic shakeup mean for other U.S. and European manufacturers?
It signals that even for a multi-billion dollar legacy player, the diabetes market requires a unique focus and structure. Other large diversified medtech companies may consider similar spin-offs. For smaller, more focused competitors in Europe, a more nimble MiniMed group is a more dangerous competitor. They should expect faster product cycles and more aggressive marketing.
And for distributors?
Distributors who work with Medtronic now have a new, separate relationship with MiniMed Group. They need to reevaluate contracts and sales strategies. The launch of sensors with different wear times, 6 and 15 days, means more complex inventory management, but also offers more choice to customers. The screenless pump also requires a new sales approach, one focused on smartphone integration and lifestyle benefits.
So the key action for executives?
If you're competing with Medtronic or MiniMed now, you need to prepare for a more agile and aggressive opponent. If you are a diversified medtech company, analyze whether your diabetes division is being held back by a larger, slower corporate structure. And for all players, miniaturization and smartphone-centric control are no longer optional features. They are market expectations.
With all this rapid growth and market expansion, we started the show talking about risk. You mentioned the FDA MOD database analysis. Tell me more about the quality control concerns emerging.
The data is stark. From 2020 to 2025, diabetes devices, primarily CGMs and insulin pumps, accounted for over half of all adverse event reports. While high volume reflects high usage and diligent reporting, it also signals inherent risks.
We're seeing this play out in real time. On June 18th, Zoll Corporation received an FDA warning letter for inadequately handling complaints about malfunctions of its AccuVent sensors, which are used in ventilators.
A different type of sensor, but the same theme of quality management failure.
Exactly. The FDA cited deficiencies in their quality management system, or QMS. They weren't properly investigating complaints, identifying root causes, or implementing corrective actions. This is a fundamental failure of process control that directly impacts patient safety. It's a cautionary tale for the entire biosensor industry.
We've seen this can affect even the biggest players, like Dexcom, with the stolen G7 sensors.
That incident is a perfect storm of supply chain and quality risk. Defective products that were meant to be destroyed were stolen and resold, carrying risks of infection and inaccurate readings. This shows that a manufacturer's responsibility doesn't end when a product leaves the factory. It extends all the way through to its end-of-life disposal.
How should U.S. and European manufacturers respond to these clear and present dangers?
They need to treat their quality management system not as a compliance checkbox, but as a core competitive advantage. This means robust post-market surveillance, rigorous complaint handling, and end-to-end supply chain security. European manufacturers subject to the EU's MDR 2017/745 regulation already face stringent requirements, but this is a call to go beyond the baseline.
What's the takeaway for trading companies and distributors?
Due diligence is paramount. You must be able to verify the provenance of every device you handle. The PharmSource case will likely lead to calls for better tracking and serialization of medical devices. Distributors should anticipate new regulations and invest in systems to ensure the integrity of their supply chain. Sourcing from unvetted third parties is now an existential risk.
And the actionable insight for the C-suite.
Conduct a top-to-bottom audit of your QMS and supply chain security protocols immediately. Engage with your logistics and disposal partners to understand and verify their procedures. The cost of a recall, an FDA warning letter, or a scandal involving diverted products far exceeds the investment in robust quality and security systems.
Finally, Troy, let's look to the future. All this activity in glucose monitoring seems like the tip of the iceberg for wearable biosensors. What's coming next?
The next wave is about moving beyond glucose and making the technology truly non-invasive and dramatically cheaper. Researchers at Cambridge University and Glitter in Tech have developed a spectrometer chip that costs just $10, but can deliver lab-grade chemical analysis non-invasively through the skin.
What could a chip like that measure?
Potentially biomarkers like lactate for athletes, blood alcohol, and even glucose without any skin penetration. This is the holy grail that companies have been chasing. But as the FDA and Johns Hopkins University warned again this year, no currently marketed smartwatch achieves medical-grade accuracy for non-invasive glucose monitoring. This Cambridge chip could be a technological breakthrough that finally makes it possible.
And it's not just chemical sensing. What about other vital signs?
Correct. Researchers at UNSW in Australia have developed a tiny, flexible auscultation sensor. It's a wearable patch that acts like a continuous stethoscope, listening for subtle vibrations from the heart and lungs to detect problems like heart failure or asthma attacks remotely. This is part of a broader trend of integrating AI with wearable sensors to provide predictive health insights, a key theme in a recent review in the Sensors Journal.
This all sounds incredibly promising. What are the hurdles for U.S. and European manufacturers looking to commercialize these next-gen sensors?
The Semi-Smart MedTech Initiative just published a paper outlining the key obstacles. They cite biosignal variability, a lack of software interoperability, data privacy concerns, and inconsistent regulatory frameworks. It's one thing to build a prototype in a lab. It's another to manufacture millions of reliable, calibrated, secure devices that integrate with hospital IT systems.
And for trading companies, what markets should they be watching?
Beyond healthcare, they should look at industrial and food safety applications. We're seeing advanced biosensors being developed for detecting pathogens in food and water, using technologies like molecularly imprinted polymers, or MIPs, coming out of universities in Palestine and Sweden. These high-sensitivity sensors could revolutionize quality control in food processing and environmental monitoring.
So the actionable insight is to look beyond the current CGM boom?
Absolutely. Executives need to establish technology scouting programs focused on university research in material science and nanotechnology, like the Cambridge spectrometer or the bioengineered bacterial spores from Tufts University. The future isn't just a better CGM. It's a $10 multi-analyte chip on your arm that tells your doctor you're getting sick 3 days before you even feel symptoms. That requires building cross-industry partnerships now between medtech, semiconductor manufacturing, and AI software firms.
All right, Troy, a lot to process this week. Let's distill it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the continuous glucose monitoring market has split into two distinct tracks. In the U.S., it's rapidly becoming a mass-market consumer wellness category, driven by over-the-counter access. In Europe, it remains a clinical market where competition is fought on technological superiority and reimbursement for advanced features like longer wear times and dual sensing. Companies must tailor their strategy for each region.
Second,
operational excellence is no longer negotiable. As the market scales, we're seeing critical failures in quality control and supply chain security from major players. An FDA warning letter or a scandal involving diverted products can erase market share overnight. Your QMS and supply chain integrity are now as important as your product's features.
And the final takeaway?
The long-term future is multi-analyte, non-invasive, and AI-driven. While glucose monitoring is the beachhead, the real revolution is in low-cost sensor technologies that can track multiple biomarkers continuously. For manufacturers and investors, the key is to look beyond the current device landscape and invest in the foundational technologies, advanced materials, semiconductor design, and predictive AI that will power the next generation of personalized health.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you for the analysis, Troy.
My pleasure, Susie.
Join us next week for Troy Technical Intelligence. To make sure you never miss a briefing, find us and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll help you separate the signal from the noise in a rapidly changing world.